Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I am here with Deborah Johnson. Deborah is a national recording artist, author, speaker, and entertainer. She is passionate about helping women at halftime use their skills, resources, and talent during their second half. She's been up for many Grammy Awards, has written 3 full-length musicals, recorded over a dozen albums, and has written 4 books. She was also last year's president of the National Speaking Association in Los Angeles. But her greatest feat and joy? She's raised 3 sons and is still married to the love of her life. Deborah, thank you for coming on to the Me Time Midlife podcast.
Oh, I am so thrilled to be here with you today.
Yes, and thank you for the work that you do, and congratulations on all the success you've had in your professional career up to now.
Oh, well, I love what I do. I just do. So it just, that's what happens when you love what you do and you keep doing it, huh?
Right. Yeah. They say, find what you love and you don't have to work a day in your life, right?
That's right. I still work, but you know.
Yes, right.
It doesn't feel like, you know, tough.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. Okay, great. So before we get into a little bit more about the work that you do and talking about some of that stuff, I'm going to ask you the first question I ask every guest, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
Oh, I love this question because especially at the halftime of life, which is age 40 and above, it comes quicker than we think, doesn't it? We really need to think about this because it's a time to kind of reflect on what we've done and what we want to do. One of the places I absolutely love to go is outside. I like to not only, it's not just gardening, it's pruning. My mom always called it snipping that she would, but I actually prune. I don't just snip. I'm a more aggressive, but it's just this feeling of accomplishing something and being out with what is growing. And it's such a great illustration to me of, you know, what a life illustration of how things grow as you plant them and you nurture them and they grow. But yet you have to cut off stuff that's not going to be healthy or deter that growth as well. So that's one of the things I love to do. There's other things I love the artistic element, but I like to read and create, love to create content. And that really energizes me, actually.
Yes. Yeah. And you've created lots of content with musicals and all kinds of stuff, right? So that's wonderful. So how did you come to do what you're doing now? First, explain a little bit more about how you work with women at the halftime, as you call it, of their life. And you consider halftime being 40. Is that correct?
It's officially age 40 and above. Most of the women I work with, and I work with men as well, because I read my books, I get great comments, and they always say, oh, I'm going to have my wife read this, and they do. You know, it's great. It's wonderful. But it's usually around the 50 age, late 40s, 50s, that sort of stage of life is when that realization really hits you. But officially, if you look online about, you know, the halftime of life, officially it's age 40 and above. So, but that's, you know, it's a great time of life. I came to work with that that stage of life because I was going through it, and I understood a lot of the challenges that we face during that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, explain a little bit more about how you help your clients. What do they come to you for, and how do you help them?
Basically, how to reinvent their life or how to transition. I've been an entrepreneur like my whole life, pretty much. Although I've taught in educational institutions, I've taught up every stage up until graduate school. So I've taught at the universities and all of that. But it's still an entrepreneurial effort, as I say, because I've been an independent contractor. Still work as an independent contractor in some areas of music That will always be with me, by the way, always. It's just,
it's in
just
your like, blood, huh?
Yeah, it's just like swimming for me.
Right.
Down at the piano and sing. But the what I do to help others is what I have done in expanding my personal business and my platform. And that's how I expanded into speaking. And because part of what I've done in shows is speaking, it's creating and it's putting together content for shows and transitions. And it's exactly what a life looks like, but creating it in not just a gig economy where your last job is your last job, but how do you create something that's sustainable and that it's not just dependent just on you? So I like to create, what I love to do is create online programs and programs where I not only appear live, but online. So I'm putting like 75% of my business is online and 25, I will still do flyouts and engagements that I go other places to do, which I love too, but it's a nice combination at this point in my life.
Now, I found that quite a few women at the halftime of their life, I'll use halftime. I say midlife, but yes, we'll use your halftime. Mm-hmm. They often get interested in becoming an entrepreneur. And maybe they're tired of the corporate setting and I think there's pros and cons to having a 9-to-5 and being an entrepreneur. You know, there's hard things about both. So, you know, you've been an entrepreneur, like you said, you know, your entire life or most of your life. and one thing that I really like about your message is that you like to help, and I'm going to use women too. I know you work with men also, but I use women. You know, women taking their talents and their resources and their life experience and all of those transferable skills into their next phase of life. Talk a little bit more about those things because it's really true. And I don't think women think about them enough. They don't often think that they have what it takes to become an entrepreneur, to start something new or to reinvent their life. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
You are so right, Kim. It is. And one of the areas that's really targeted at this time of life is confidence, you know, the lack of confidence and really owning and understanding what those transferable skills is so key right now. Because we discount what we have done. And I call it the it quality. I started teaching private piano when I was age 13. I did not want to pull weeds or watch the five kids next door. I did not want to babysit. So I started teaching neighborhood kids, and then their parents started to take from me as well. So I was teaching adults at age 13, and you were always looking for this one little it quality. What did they have that would break through? There are very few that are going to make it into the music field. Very few. But get some enjoyment. What will help them shine? What will help them be successful? That is your transferable skill at almost any stage. What have you done that has really broken through a little bit to be, you know, a standout for you as your transferable skill? And then really to own that. And as you spoke about being an entrepreneur, I like to think of someone that has that day job. And they've got a box, okay? You've got a little area that you have some areas that you can stay within. When you become an entrepreneurial, and this is an entrepreneur, this is one of the hardest transitions here is to create your own box. Mm. And it's, you have to create your schedule, create your timeline, creating your all of the things that go along with that. And it's very hard if you're not used to doing that. You're used to having some sort of guide. And now all of a sudden you have to put that into place yourself. That's why it's a good, you know, have a coach or a support group or some sort of help in putting that together is huge at that stage of life.
Yeah. You have to learn how to manage yourself.
Yes.
At this point, right? But which is totally doable, especially even, you know, what's funny too is even a stay-at-home moms, they have a lot of transferable skills, right? Managing time and schedules and I mean all sorts of things. It is a job and there are transferable skills there. For sure.
And that is so right. They discount this. Many of them discount that experience. They are some of the most experienced and some of the most capable
women
out there. I have raised three sons And I know what it's like to have three boys, four and under, and still work. I'm still doing my private instruction. I was gigging at night. I was doing all of those things, raising my kids. And so balancing all of the, and the sports programs, oh my goodness. And they've escalated through the years. But sure. You are so used to, as a mom, you have huge skills there. And not to discount those, just to say, oh, you know, that's just what I did. No, I put you guys at the top of the top of the ladder there.
Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. It's a very important to own that though, because again, yes. That confidence factor, that's something you have to deal. And that's that not good enough monster, as I call it, or the imposter syndrome. I tell you what, there's a lot of businesses based on these, I call them the fake movie sets. Okay. They're out there. And, but you've got that little wall that people have put up. That happens all the time. So you just have to start.
Right. So lack of confidence, the imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
What might some other issues be that women commonly face at halftime? What have you seen?
Fear. I think fear of failure. That they, you know, you have to be willing to fail, and you learn so much from things that don't go exactly right. And in fact, I just had a photo session last week, and I've started to put those into my schedule a little bit more. But you have to be willing to do enough pictures and have enough that don't turn out. And it's the same thing in a business, that you have to be willing to take some risks, because all you're looking for is a couple areas that are just going to shine and that you can then build upon. And that same thing happens, you know, with the photos. I just say, just take a ton of pictures, and I will learn from my expressions. Okay, so what to do next time. And when you're in this business, you have to have photos. I've been in the entertainment business. You got to do this like every year or two. I do it more often now just because of my blogging and all of that. But it's, you know, just something you have to do. But when you are afraid of taking a risk at all, you're not going to even start, and you can't finish unless you start.
Yes, that's right. Another thing, fear of failure, but maybe also fear of success. If I do well, I think maybe some women might feel like they don't deserve the success or the, you know, the money that may come, or the recognition or achievement that may come. You know, that's the other side of it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that really is. I mean, you hear those stories of, you know, the beautiful models that they look gorgeous. And then you talk to them and they have no confidence, and they're just, you know, they don't know what to do with it. And yeah, just to be able to not be afraid of that success as well. And some of that is, we put our own dialogue in there. Like, well, maybe my friends won't like me anymore, or maybe I can't relate to people anymore. And, you know, you have to get beyond that and be able to embrace that when it comes. But I tell you what, there's a lot of overnight successes that have happened in 10 years or 20 years. So you have to be yes. willing to stick it out too, especially Absolutely. That, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No overnight successes. It takes a really long time. Often we just see people's highlights, right? But we don't see behind the scenes, everything that it took to do that. Okay. So Deborah, let's say a woman listening is in her 40s or 50s, let's assume, okay, and she wants to pursue her dream as an entrepreneur, right? So she's maybe worked in the corporate world for a long time. Now she wants to get out of that, or maybe she wants to start thinking about retirement, but she's still working, but she wants to start building something that she can be monetizing and working on after retirement. So where would this woman start? What do you suggest?
I start with a very, very strong foundation. And I usually suggest a side business, very small little steps. And if we look for little times in our day, we can usually carve out a little time to be able to start developing something like that and not be in a hurry. Of course, identifying your skills is one of the strong, important foundations. First of all, is to figure out those skills. And then you want to be able to identify something that you'd like to do that you feel like you can sell, or that could be, you know, something that would be marketable. that you can do. So those sort of, foundations right there are where you start. And you just have to be very, very consistent on that. So you have a, what I call that unique selling proposition. You have your transferable skills. And then who are you going to sell it to? Who are you going to, if you're going into, some people go into coaching at this point because they've had, you know, a ton of experience, especially if they're in HR, in the financial field, you know, if they're independent, they're familiar with compliance, they know what the laws and the regulations are, and they're going into this. Well, you have to know who you're going to target that with, you know, who's your audience. Mm-hmm. So when you can scale that down, those are some of the basics of that foundation to where to start. And then just start. Don't be afraid to not, you got to be very, very consistent and put down that time in your schedule and just do a little something every day, I would say, or a couple times a week at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If you take some of that time that you usually spend binge watching some show, you have some time to work on this little side business, as you call it. So identifying your skills, knowing what you're good at, what are those transferable skills that you can take from your previous work experience or previous life experience? What are your strengths? And of course, who is it for? So I like to follow marketing expert Seth Godin, and he always talks about you want to make sure you answer two things: who's it for and what's it for, right? So yes. Who is the audience and what is it? What is this product or service for? And I think that's another maybe obstacle that some women can face is, well, I like to do this. I enjoy painting or whatever, let's say, but who's going to buy this, right? Who would buy my photographs or my paintings or my book or my poems? Or, I mean, those are just some examples, but it could be all kinds of things. So that, I think, is another barrier for women, right? Is who would buy this?
Right. And you just have to spend a little time thinking, and with the internet right now, kind of see what's out there. You want to see who is doing kind of what you are doing. That's really helpful. Now, we used to not have that resource. When I was doing graduate work, I was in the archives, right? In the library. That's going to date me a little bit. But I didn't have that resource of being able to go and do a lot of my research online. And there's so much now that you can see, okay, so who's doing something kind of like this and what's working for them? That is so key. And reading the book by one of my favorites also is Donald Miller's Story Brand. It mm-hmm. is an amazing book, and really being specific on your message. What do you do? Make it very, very simple. But find out who's doing it. Is it profitable? If you were an artist, I come from a family that has had, that's one side of my family that has been that artistic bent. And realizing that, I tell you, a lot of people buy a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
How it's marketed, what your niche is, finding the place where that fits, and then kind of being a part of that community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. See how other people do it and see what you like about how they do it and what you don't like, what you would do differently. And I would suggest, when you're thinking about would somebody buy this and how much would they buy it for, you know, those types of questions, so you can decide what you want to sell your product or service for, I would suggest not asking your friends. Because I think your friends are going to say, "Oh yeah, of course I'd buy that."
But of course they will.
Yeah. So maybe not asking friends who are going to tell you what you want to hear and want to be encouraging, right? I mean, they want to help out, they want to be encouraging, but they're not the best people to ask objective.
Yeah, and your grandmother who will always tell you, "Oh, that's so great,
exactly.
That's wonderful." Yeah, you have to
exactly.
Yeah, you have to kind of weigh that a little bit and. That's a great suggestion.
Right. So. Now, what about, okay, well, I was going to ask you about technology, and we could talk about that a little bit. Now, I had a retreat a couple of months ago, and I invited some clients to Vancouver, and we had a great time together. And I found that my clients, in midlife. Most of them are in their 50s. They are more technologically savvy, I think, than I am. So I was going to ask you about technology. Like they have later phones than I have. They are faster on their phones. They know all these shortcuts. But for the woman who feels a little behind and maybe is not doesn't feel so confident with technology, what do you say to her?
Basically, you need to be able to manage it. So I have been, had my toe dipped in technology for a long time because I've been in the music field. I have a little studio. I've done a production studio. I've done, you know, a lot of things in that area. I enjoy video editing. You know, I'm to the point to say I should not spend my time doing that.
Right.
I need to hire it out. So, but it's a great principle for me to be able to help others in how to hire it out, because you shouldn't do everything like that. I get stuck in it because I enjoy it. And then I'm just, you know, nitpicking all the way through. So you have to decide how you're going to use your time, but basically know what to hire and know that there are people that are going to be better than you at that. And having sons and having one, especially right now, they're all very proficient in tech pretty much, but especially my youngest son who's in cybersecurity. I mean, it is, you know, they'll answer stuff really, really fast, and they'll take your phone away and go do it this way. You know, so it's very humbling. But I learn from that, you know, as well. So you just can't just totally be afraid of it. But I think embrace it. But it's fun when you're around. You know, I think a lot of people are more and more comfortable, especially from, you know, our phones are our computers now. So, and you have to see how everything looks on your phone now, from your website to post everything. So yeah, just not to be afraid of it. It's the Peter Drucker principle, you know, what you hire, you need to manage. You know, it's just making sure that you know enough, that little 10%, you know, 10% ahead or something like that, that you can be ahead of the curve to manage it.
Right. Yeah. I love this quote, do what you do best and hire the rest.
Right? Oh, that's so great. Yes.
You think about your service or the product or whatever it is that you're going to be delivering, that you're going to be actually selling. That's what you want to focus on, right, on doing. Right. So in my case is coaching. So all this website design and codes and plugins and all this stuff that I just don't get, I have hired that out like since the first day of my business, so that I can focus on doing the thing that I do best, right? Because you don't want to spend all your time trying to figure out how to do technology stuff if it's not your thing.
Yeah, that's very wise. And I tell people, well, I have 5 websites right now because I have musicals on it, and I have another headliner act and a music website as well. And I've been doing a lot of my own editing for years. And I started when you had to do the HTML. So, you know, talk about a deep dive into tech and then the back end of all of that. And I have to admit that just recently I've started to hire that out. And it bugs me a little bit when they're not really fast. And it's, you know, I'm going, you didn't do it right. This is how you do it. You know, I'm telling them, okay, guys, you're supposed to know all this stuff. Uh-huh. It doesn't look right. But it will end up, you have to let people do it and then check it. And then next time, hopefully they'll do it correctly. And so you realize that you've had, especially if you've had your way of doing things, and this is very true for someone coming from corporate, I would think that would be a challenge as well. All of a sudden you're an entrepreneur and you're hiring someone and you're thinking, why aren't they getting it? What, you know, but what are you paying them? Maybe they're not paid what they used to be with your company, and now you're hiring them, and you know, you're looking for the best assistance and all of that. So your expectations, you want to keep those expectations high, but yet there's a training process sometimes that you have to be willing to do as an entrepreneur.
Right. So managing yourself and your own time, and then managing the people that you hire as well. Yeah,
yes, which especially might be in technology, different. I think that's an area too for some that have been into that area.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Okay, Deborah, so I want to ask you one more thing. We've been talking about, you know, startups and being an entrepreneur and having a business and all of that. So like you said, there are no overnight successes. It takes a long time. There's no elevator You have to take the stairs,
right? Which is better for your health anyway, but.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, there is the reality too that most businesses fail. Yeah. And I hate to use the word fail, but maybe it's not the right time, right? Maybe you didn't pick the right audience, mm-hmm. or maybe your audience and your product or your service and or your timing just don't align, right? Maybe you're a little too early for something, or I don't know. There could be many reasons why your business doesn't work out, and that's okay. That's okay. But what can people do who are starting their own business? What can they do to best ensure that this does not happen, that they do become successful and can monetize what they begin?
That's a great, great question. And there's no hard and fast answers to that, because I really believe that part of this is timing and providence. And, you know, sometimes it's just being in the right place at the right time. And you will talk to almost anyone that has been very successful, and you will find those two elements, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a God thing, as I say, that just, you know, you were there at the right time, you had the right product. And there are some things I've felt a little early on, which is really weird when I look back. It's like, I was doing that years ago, and now all of a sudden it's becoming popular. But I think what wins out is perseverance. Mm. And when I was doing my very first album recording that I put out, and I'd already had, you know, three sons, and I was working as a music director at the same time. And I decided, you know, it's time. I've got all these songs. I'd like to produce these. And I remember the engineer coming to me, and he said, you know, you're tenacious. And I went home. I had to look that word up. I didn't know what tenacious meant.
You didn't know if it was a good or bad thing either?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, was he calling me a name? Right. But I really realized that as an entrepreneur, you have to be tenacious and persistent, and you can be kind, you can be all of those things, but you have to, if you don't give up. It's that little fable, the Aesop's fable of the tortoise and the hare. You just keep going. And a lot of people give up. And there's been many, many stories in history about people that gave up, and they could have won the war. I mean, there's some great, great illustrations of that if we look in our past history. So just not totally giving up. You have to validate your idea, and there's ways you can do that. But into seeing what the market is going to have, all of that. But yet, if you give up too soon and not give it a chance, you might be really, really close. And you know what's one of the hardest things, Kim, and it's, I call it head trash, is when you see other people around you, and all of a sudden it looks like they've had this huge success and overnight success, and it's like they're not doing half what you're doing. That's a really hard thing to overcome mentally because of your confidence. And you have to realize, what's my mission? What's my purpose? What's my why? And keeping that central and focused. And when I focus on those women that I've been leading small groups since I was in, I think in high school, college, and church groups, I'm a self-starter. I would start those groups, and then they would start groups, and I'd train leaders. So, and I see women at halftime, they're not using their skills and their resources and their talent. And it all comes together, whether they're musicians, whether they're artists, whether they're in corporate, whether they've been moms, whether they want to start a nonprofit. There are so many areas that we need you as women when you are at this stage of your life, because you have so much to offer. And don't quit. Don't say, well, I'm just going to fade off into the sunset. You know, I just know I only have a certain number of years. No, I want to work for another 15 to 20 years. I love what I do, and I don't want to give up. I might slow down slightly, although my husband doesn't think I will. But anyway, that's
right. Yeah, and as long as you enjoy it, especially if money is not the number one focus, you know, maybe you're okay money-wise, you know, you're able to pay your bills and live the life that you want to live, but you're doing this because you want to have some extra money, or you want to, I don't know, you know, there could be many other reasons, but you got to love it, right? You got to enjoy what you're doing. I think that's really important. Okay, Deborah, I have a bunch of sites here. Like you said, you have a bunch of sites. I'm gonna put them all in the show notes, your website and all your social media links. Thank you so much for coming onto the Me Time Midlife podcast. Again, congratulations on all your success. And thank you for, you know, the work that you do helping people to, you know, create their own success in their lives by taking those transferable skills that they've learned in the first half. So thanks again, Deborah, for coming onto the podcast today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And thank you for having me. And I'm always grateful and thankful for the opportunity. So thank you, Kim.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more me time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar, or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.